Praise the Lord. It's good to look out and see most of you. Most everybody's here, I guess. Just maybe a couple of us out. But it's just good to see you all this morning. And let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, dear Lord, for this opportunity we have to be here this morning, to come and together and assemble in your name, Lord. Lord, to have not just this building, which we are thankful for, but to know, dear God, that the truth of the word, Lord, is here to where we can come and worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. Lord, and we thank you for that. And Lord, I ask now, dear God, that you'll guide us. Lord, anoint me. Lord, may my lips, Lord, be shut to anything that it is other that's wrong, Lord, or anything, dear God, that would be of my own thoughts. May it just be you speaking this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to St. John chapter 6. St. John chapter 6 says many in verse 60. St. John chapter 6 verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up from whence he was before?" It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he that should betray him, being one of the 12. Amen. You may be seated. What I want to title this morning is Desire of the Heart. And I was really inspired by a message Brother Jewel had preached here a week ago. And I just had these things on my heart. And I looked at this and Jesus saying, "I've chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." But something I really want to draw your attention to is verse 64. where it says, where Jesus says, "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. So he had these disciples following him. And he knew from the very beginning, he knew before the first one began following him. He knew who was going to stay and who was going to go. He knew, he says, he knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. He didn't just know it by looking out across the people congregating and seeing the reactions of their faces and things. He knew because he was God in flesh. He knew before the foundation of the earth, he knew who it was that would believe him and who would not believe him. Notice then he turns to the 12, and he, knowing of them, it says, knowing he chose 12, and he knew, he says it right there in front of him, and one of you is a devil. Could you imagine if you were one of the 12 standing there, and the Lord says, "I've got you 12, and one of you is a devil." Now, I know if it had been me standing there, I'd have been looking around. I'd looked at myself and been thinking, man, I hope it ain't me. And I'd been looking at the rest of it, wondering who that one is. But Peter wasn't staggered by this. He wasn't staggered. Peter, when he asked, "Would you go?" he didn't stagger at all the things that had been said that he didn't understand. Peter did not understand a word of what Jesus has said when he said, "I'm the bread that fell down from heaven. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." Peter didn't understand no more than the rest of them did. If you'd asked Peter right there on the spot, "Explain to me what he just said," Peter said, "I have no earthly idea. But one thing," he said, "I do know. I might not know what he was talking about, but I know he's got the words of life, and I know who he is. I may not understand everything he's saying, but I know who he is. Thou art the Christ." He knew who he was. He wasn't shaken by the things that were spoke or preached or said that he had never heard before and he didn't understand and he couldn't wrap his mind around it. How many times have we, in ourselves, we sitting and something's said or preached and maybe it's something we haven't heard before and we're like, "Well, I don't know about that. I've been around this message a long time. Oh, I never heard that before. I don't know about that." It don't matter. Do you know who it is that's speaking? Peter didn't know. He didn't understand them things, but he knew who Jesus was. And friends, that's, we've got to, I'll tell you this, I've said it before, if we don't have confidence that it's the Lord speaking through this pulpit, then we better just shut this thing down till we get somebody that we know is. And then if it is, then we need to do what the voice of the Lord tells us to do, whether we understand it or not, whether it seems to agree with our flesh or not, because I guarantee you, most of what's said won't agree with our flesh. It won't agree with our flesh. Sometimes our flesh will bulk up and it won't want to do it. Sometimes there's things said and you'll find something in yourself, you start feeling bad at the person standing up here. But the thing is, friends, don't pay attention to the person who's up here. All that is, that's just a flesh veil. And I can tell you, that flesh veil is there for one thing, to hide the word. And for another thing, to stumble them who would not believe. God has made us in a certain way, friends. He made me in a certain way. He made my flesh in a certain way. God knew he was going to send me here. So he made my flesh in a certain way that those that wouldn't believe would stumble at it. I'm not saying to slip myself up. I got there. You're going to be included in this in just a little bit. I'm just building. I'm just building. But you know, many times we, Satan, has Satan ever come to any of y'all and said, maybe you ain't one of them. Maybe you ain't elect. We'll come and say, you know you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You know you ain't got it. Why are you trying to fake it in front of everybody? There was a sister that came to Brother Branham. Many of you know about this. We've mentioned it before. But it's just so powerful. It was on a Sunday morning right before he was going to preach the message of the masterpiece. And this sister wanted to come to him. Now, Brother Branham says something here. He said he'd been praying for her. She'd been sick. He said he'd been praying for her. He said, because you're of value to this church. Her name was Sister Bruce. More specifically, it was Sister Georgia Bruce. And he said, I'm praying, he says, that God won't let you die because you are of value to this church. Many times we don't, you know, was she a song leader? No. Did she play one of the instruments? No. What did she do? Her name is mentioned. If you'll type it in, her name is mentioned several times throughout the messages Brother Branham preached. This was not the only time you would ever hear her name. But it was several times in different messages Brother Branham would mention Sister Bruce. Some of the time it was praying for her because she was in the hospital. Other times it was saying something about what she had done or something. But there was nothing ever great. There wasn't nothing mentioned about her in the messages that would make you look and say, well, I certainly can understand why he said she was of value to the church. My point being is, many times we get to sitting on a pew and we think, well, I'm not the preacher, I'm not the song leader, I don't play an instrument, maybe I'm really not that important. And yet, you don't realize just how much of a value you are to the church. You don't realize just how much of a value your life, your testimony, the way that you conduct yourself in front of others, you don't realize what a value that is. Because what is it, friends? Look, the Bible calls preaching foolish. It says, through the foolishness of preaching. And it says we got to have a preacher or we can't get saved. But what is the whole theme of it? We talk about being a Christian. What does the word mean? It means to be Christ-like. So the testimony, your life of Christ living through you is a great value to others around you that see it. You are an encouragement. Many times you don't realize maybe someone is facing something, going through something, and it may not be no more than something you say out here after we leave out of church and just your smile. And it would help that individual. Ask a song leader how valuable you are in a service. The song leader will say, if I ain't got nobody else here singing, then all I'm doing is singing a special. It reminds me one time, Brother Phil was introducing a new song, and he was singing, and after the service, Brother Paul told him, said, that was a wonderful special you sung. And Brother Phil said, it wasn't supposed to be a special. Before I began preaching, I started out being a song leader. And I was a song leader there at the church in Ohio for for several years before I ever started preaching. And I can tell you, when I'd get up there to lead singing, if nobody else was singing, or people were distracted and they was looking down at this or looking over at that or whatever wasn't singing, I'm telling you what, that was a hindrance. They didn't realize what a hindrance they was being to everybody else. And they sure didn't realize what the song leader, when he sees that, he's got to quickly look away because he'll get distracted by it. Or he'll get discouraged by it. You know, nothing more discouraging than a song leader to come up here and lead songs and nobody wants to sing. And don't depend on your brother or sister to do your singing. Everybody's got to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Everybody needs to sing. Everybody needs to worship. The singing is a very important part of the service. It's an important part because it's in the singing, the praise of God, that begins to prepare your heart and mind to receive the word. In the Bible, what went before the word? What went before the ark when they crossed over? It was, they had them playing instruments and singing and clapping their hands, and that went before the ark. You know, we're singing about the blood of Jesus or whatever you're singing about. It gets your mind off of this bill or what you got to do afterwards, and you ain't thinking about Catfish Kitchen or any place else or what you're going to do. And Walmart's not on your mind. Heard Brother Darrell Ward say sometimes, he said, I'm preaching and people are sitting there shopping at Walmart in their mind. But worshiping the Lord, then it gets your mind on those things. It gets your mind off your troubles. It gets your mind off of what you faced during that week. It gets your mind off if you were feeling down. We come into the service and say, well, I feel too down to sing. That's the very sign you need to sing. Because if you're too down to sing and you get it, give into that and just sit there, then that's what you're going to be doing when the word comes forth. I went and preached in one church, and I learned a great lesson there. I was out evangelizing several years back, and I went in this church, and the pastor told me, he said, brother, we don't care what you preach here. As long as you can, we said, we don't care how good you can preach, how deep you are, or how shallow you are, as long as you can bring Jesus on the scene. And I went out there, and you know, as evangelists, many times you'll have your script bag full of sermons that the Lord has given you. And you'll pull a sermon out of there and go out there and preach it. And you may have preached that sermon in four or five different places. Ask Brother Jewel when he comes through here. It's just the way God does with evangelists. Pastor, you know, he's got to change the titles and wait a little while, you know, and change scripture, use a different scripture or something, you know, to preach the same thing. But evangelist, and so I pulled out this sermon. I thought, boy, I'll tell you what, this is power packed right here. And I'll tell you, I went out there to preach and I was plowing all morning. All Sunday morning, I was plowing. I couldn't get an amen. I couldn't seem like to get the people's attention. I was fighting through it and I had to get my mind so much on it, or otherwise I'd lose what I was saying, and we just had to say, well, amen, let's go. And so we went, after that, we went out and had a bite to eat, went back over to the pastor's house, and I kicked back in he had a recliner, I kicked back in that recliner and took me a little nap. And then went back for Sunday night service. And I got back there, and I was back in the back praying, I said, Lord, I feel like maybe it was me. If it was me, I missed your leading this morning. And I don't want to do that, Lord. I'm not here to impress these people. They may never see me again. But I'm here to deliver your word. There could be something that you would say, Lord, that would touch them. And it would be something that would be eternal for them, because they may forget me or never see me again ever on this side. I mean, I didn't know. And just to be frank with you, I've never been back there since that time. The Lord just never has led me back that way. And I came out and I preached a real simple sermon the Lord laid on my heart. And I'll be honest with you, I got inspired for that. at a Pentecostal camp meeting that I had visited just a week before that. I'd went and visited this pastor down in Florida, and UPC was having a camp meeting nearby. Pastor asked me, said, "You want to go?" And I said, "Sure, let's go." And I went, and I enjoyed the message of the brother preached, you know. And he was quite a big fella, and he preached on Abraham, you know, giving the sacrifices and how he had to fight off the things that would come down to try to take the sacrifice. And he's a pretty big fella. He picked up one of them mic stands like that and held that thing up like a club. I don't think I could do that and preach. But I was really inspired by his message, and there was something he said in there. It was actually just scripture he read. He read the scripture where it says, "When David was anointed king, then all the Philistines came against him." And just that scripture he read, it touched me. And so the Lord laid on my heart that night. I came out there, and I read that scripture, and I said, "I'm going to preach on when David was anointed king." Now, I didn't say a whole lot about David. I brought out just enough to show about him being anointed and how things started going afterwards. But then I started going in our lives once we were anointed, once we received the Holy Ghost, and how Satan will fight us and things. And it was just a little simple message. I tell you what, it was like I was preaching in a new place. That place, it was like fire got lit in that place. And I tell you what, them people come alive. And we had people at the altar. We had people crying. It was just one more service. And afterwards, the pastor came to me and he said, "You know, after this morning service, I was kind of wondering about you." He said, "But tonight you brought Jesus on the scene." You know, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, sister, I was talking about Sister Bruce. And the thing was, she was questioning. She said, "Brother, I need to have that experience that I've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. I need to know that I got it. I need to know I have it." And the thing was, she was having a condition with her heart, and she was afraid she was going to die. And she told Brother Brown, "I think I'm going to die. And I've got to know that I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost." And Brother Branham began to talk to her, and I want to read you a few things. Maybe, you know, you'll be able to relate to it. And if somebody here out of your family ain't here today, you pass this along to them. He said, "Well, you're a nervous type person. And you get things on your mind, see, little bitty things, and it just keeps building up." What was it that was making her doubt whether she had it? She was a nervous individual, and she'd get things on her mind, just little bitty things, and then they'd keep building up till they seemed like they was great big. And Brother Branham began to then go through and talk to her and said, "Sister, I know you to pray for people and things like that." And he says, "Look," he said, "don't look at yourself, Sister Bruce." And you know, that's the thing we think that we've been told to do. If we need to know whether we got the Holy Ghost, well, we need to take a look at ourselves. And he said, "Don't look at yourself." You know, back in the office back there, when they redid it, they put me a big old mirror in there. I've never seen anybody walk in my office and walk by that mirror without looking at themselves. One, it's just really big. And Brother Jewel, he walked by and he said, "Oh boy, you got a big mirror here." He says, "Hopefully this mirror will make me look skinny." He says, "It's one of them kind of mirrors." You know, there are some people can't walk past their reflection without taking a look. When I was a young man, first met my wife, it was one of the things she knows about me. I was kind of proud of my hair, you know. I used to have hair. And I was kind of proud of it. And I wanted to make sure every hair, I don't get these hairdos where it looks like I got up out of bed. You know, and comes here. I don't get them. Me, I wanted every hair in place. And I didn't come from the 50s, so I didn't put grease in my hair. That wasn't how I kept it in place. And putting hairspray, there was a lot of done that. Well, that wasn't cool either. So you just had to train your hair. And you know, my hair has curl to it and everything else, and that was not the thing you wanted to have as a guy. And so I had to straighten my hair to get it straightened out and get it where, you know, and I'd take and hold it down with a comb and blow dry that thing and everything else, trying to make sure it was straight and everything, you know. And whenever I'd go past my reflection, I wanted to make sure if there's a hair got out of place, I could put it back in. And she noticed that, you know, about me. But the thing is, many times we get to thinking, and sometimes we've actually been told, take a look at ourselves. But Brother Branham says here, he said, don't look at yourself, Sister Bruce. To know whether you got the Holy Ghost said, don't look at yourself. What was he talking about? Don't look at your flesh. Because that's what I'm getting to with this reflection. All you see in that reflection is your flesh. I look in a mirror today and I don't see the same reflection I used to see. Why? Because this flesh is letting me down. It's dying. It's getting old. I read in the Bible where they'd live to be 700, 800, 900 years old and things like that in the book of Genesis. And I think, well, how did they look? I don't imagine they looked like somebody that I saw the other day. They said Kirk Douglas getting ready to celebrate his 100th birthday. And so I looked up on the internet to find a picture of him. I'm going to tell you what, he don't look like Kirk Douglas no more. I imagine when neighbor's 800 years old, I mean, I don't think you multiply that, you know, by what people look like today. They didn't age then like we are now. They still died. Methuselah was the one that lived the longest, but he never made it to 1,000 years. You know, the Bible says one day is a thousand years is one day with the Lord. Peter says that. In the day you eat thereof, that day you'll die. Why we got to come back for a millennium so we can live one whole day? 1,000 years. So man can live one whole day, 1,000 years. And that devil's still going to be around. Same one we fight today is going to be around. But the Bible says he's going to be bound by chains. But the chains that he's bound by isn't, Brother Branham said, they're not logging chains. He says it is chains of circumstances. Because we won't be in this body of flesh. We won't have that human spirit that he can work with. But it'll be a room body, but what it'll be is it'll be the soul, which is you, that theophany clothed around it, and then a glorified flesh. And the circumstances is he won't have no effect. Isn't that irony for you? Because what he tries to do is make the word of no effect to us now. But in the end, it's going to be, he ain't going to have no effect. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that time. Hallelujah. He said, talking to Sister Bruce, he says, he sees the blood of his own son. It's our voice, Christ's blood. He said, he don't see you. He don't see your sins. He said, he sees the blood of his own son and hears our voice, but it's Christ's blood, that it's Christ that's talking through us,
to God. So therefore, we're not sinners no more. We are Christians.
What makes us a Christian? Because we can live real good. Because we never make mistakes. Because we, all the time, we would never break one commandment. That ain't what makes us a Christian. Because we do things for the poor, we help our neighbors out in the community. Because we do good works, is that what makes us a Christian? I'm going to tell you this. Don't get choked now. Just because somebody goes around and has an appearance of being Christ-like, that still don't make them a Christian. Because some people don't even know what Christ is like. Oh, he just loves everybody. Why? Look at you. What are you up there pounding that pulpit for? Christ would never do that. No, he'd probably turn the thing over. He did it one time, you know. He turned over their tables and everything else and braided him a whip and ran him out of the church. That was Christ-like. But what makes us Christians? His blood. What makes us Christians is he died for us. Listen to this. She says, I make so many mistakes. I fail so many times. Brother Ram said, that's why Christ had to die. So you, with your mistakes wouldn't be lauded to you. He took your mistakes. He said, your desire in your heart is to serve him. She said, yes. He said, all right, that's what he died for. So you could serve him. Your mistakes are not looked at. He's your propitiation. He's your sin offering. Your sins are not known. You're not a sinner before God because Christ took your sins and became you because your desire is to serve him. Whew. I tell you what you say. They're simple words, boy. They're powerful. They're powerful because I'll tell you something, friends. The devil, the accuser of the brother, many times we think that means that he's coming to you accusing somebody else. No, he comes to you accusing you. He comes to me accusing me. He's the accuser of the brother. He'll come to me. And he'll start pointing out every little thing. I'll tell you, he's a tormentor. He's a tormentor. I was talking to my dad yesterday. He called me, and you know, my dad, he seemed like his whole life he's been suffering one thing or another, He said it cooled off up there, you know, and I think it cooled off around here yesterday too. He said it cooled off up there, and he said, I'm dreading, he said, the cold weather coming. Now, you might think, well, my goodness, this is just September. Yeah, but this is the South. That's a difference. And He said, I'm dreading it. He said, because now when it gets real cold and we get all that snow on the ground, he says, I can't go out of the house. He said he can't keep his footing good. And because of the heart condition he had, it takes his breath. He can't breathe. And he said, I'm dreading it. And say, why? Because he wants to be at church. He can sit at home, get on the internet, and they actually have live feed and watch the service of live video feed, you know, and you can watch the service right there. But I'll tell you what, it ain't like being there. It's not like being there. Thank God that we've got different things that can help us. And I, you know, once we get the internet, why, We'll get something set up. Don't ask me how, because I'm not the guy. But ask them two back there how. But somehow they're going to get me on there live. I don't know when we'll get video, but we will have a live audio anyway. But we ain't doing that so people can say, well, I don't have to go to church. We're doing it for the times when you can't get out, when something does happen. Right now we're putting them on so if somebody's out of town and they miss a service or whatever, it's real easy and convenient. I tell you what, if you got a smartphone, you can get on there and listen to it on your smartphone. I was amazed at that. I don't understand all them things. But I was amazed there. I got on there and let me just try this. And I clicked it and there it went. Started playing right across my phone. We ain't got much excuse for not hearing the word. We're getting less and less excuses, aren't we? But he was talking about that, and he said, he never said it would be easy. He said he never said the cross wouldn't be heavy. And we each got our own cross to bear. And he was saying it, trying to encourage me, because he had asked me how I was doing and things. And I said, well, I'm still here. I'm still fighting. I said, sometimes there's some days it's real hard. When he said that, said he didn't say the cross wouldn't be heavy. I'll tell you, this message, the reason it was so much on my heart, friends, I've had times where mistakes and different things that'll get you down. And that ain't what's my problem right now. I don't have a tangible one, sorry. But I'm just telling you, I can relate to that. I can relate to the times when it just seems like the mistake you make, it just seems so big. And you think, and you get to just doubting everything. Not doubting the message or the word, really, but doubting everything about yourself. And the devil will try to get you to doubt your experience. He'll try to get you to, well, maybe, yeah, when that happened, maybe it was just all just flesh, Maybe you just, that's all it's been. Any shouting you've ever done, all that's just your flesh, And he'll build up them mistakes. The prophet said, sister, that's why he died. Hallelujah. That's why he died. To cover our mistakes. He went out and preached the message right after that of the masterpiece. And he says in paragraph 57, he says, on the interview a few moments ago, I was speaking to a person in the room that's present now and said, but Brother Branham, I have so many things that's wrong and a godly little woman. And I said, but look, sister, you don't look at yourself, just what your desire is and what you try to do. And if you really love the Lord, you try to serve him with all your heart. And then all your mistakes is hid in the blood of the Lord Jesus. See, he's made a way. In the Hebrews chapter 6 message, Brother Branham says, if you're saved, you're saved. He said, if God saves you tonight, knowing he's going to lose you 10 years from now, then he's defeating his own purpose. the infinite, almighty, eternal, everlasting wisdom, God doesn't know enough then to know whether you will hold out or whether you won't? Then when he saves you, he'd say, well, I'll give him a try. I'll see what he'll do. Then he doesn't know the end from the beginning. God knows what he's doing. Don't you ever worry about that. It's you and me that's stumbling around. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. These are things, look, friends, I'm giving you some arrows to put in your quiver. When the devil comes and begins to try to bring a discouragement to you, just pull one out and aim it right at him. God knows what he's doing. You don't, devil. The devil don't even know who his children is. He don't know who's his and who's God. He can't tell the difference. That's why he's got to hit. Now him, he has to throw things out there and say, well, let's see what'll work here. Let's see what they'll do with this. Roaming to and fro. Seeking whom may devour. Well, you just throw something out and see how you'll react to it. God doesn't save you tonight to lose you 10 years from now. Hallelujah. He knows what he's doing. He goes on to say, the Bible said Esau and Jacob, before either child was born, God said, I love one and hate the other. Before they was even breathed their first breath, that his election might stand true. See, he knows what he's doing. But I really love this. He said, who was Abraham? Who was he that God should call him? Who was he that God should call and save him without anything? Now we look at Abraham and we say, we read about the mistakes Abraham had, but we really focus on over there where Paul begins to write his commentary and says, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. And we look at him and we call him the father of the faith. But before he became father of the faith, who was he? He wasn't anybody. You understand what I'm saying? God didn't come to call some great big somebody. Abraham couldn't save himself. Abraham, he was just like man, and when God came down to talk to Abraham, he didn't say, now if you'll do this and this and that, Abraham, then I'll do this. No, he knew man couldn't keep a covenant. So he made an unconditional covenant with Abraham. I will do this. Hallelujah. Who was I before God called me? Who are you? That ain't why God called us. He called us that his election might stand sure. He elected you. You belong to him. You're his child. That's why he called you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Bible says a sheep know my voice and a stranger did not follow. I like going to Sonic and getting a Coke. And after 8, they have half-priced milkshakes every night. And I'll go over even if I, you know, even if I only have to just get a mini one, you know. But I like going there sometimes and getting a Coke and I'll go in there and I like ordering it and I'll ask them, put a lime wedge in that Coke Zero, you know. And I usually always order the same thing and order the same size. I'll go in there and I'll say, yeah, I want a Route 44 Coke Zero with a lime wedge. Last night, my wife and I went over there. They'd had these new boneless wings with some sauce on them. I wanted to try them. And it was late, and after we'd got done, there was a lot of stuff went on yesterday. And we went over there, and I ordered, and I just ordered a large Coke Zero. And this little waitress come out. I don't know if I ever saw her before. And she brought us the stuff. And then after that, I wanted to put in just one more little order, you know, add on to something. And I called in that order. And this other waitress come out. And I don't really remember her face or seeing her. But she said, how come you didn't order that Route 44 Coke Zero with the lime wedge in it tonight? She said, I heard your voice when it came across. I was the one who took your order. And she said, when you didn't order it that way, I thought, well, maybe I'm mistaken. People get to know your voice. How do people get to know your voice? The more they hear it. That's what his sheep need to do. Keep hearing his voice. Friends, there's many voices out there. Brother, the prophet said there's so many voices out there. He said, I doubt whether people would recognize the true voice of God if they heard it. Because they listen to so many other voices. We need to be hearing that voice. That's the voice we need to be listening to. Not that voice that comes and whispers to us and tells us, points out our mistakes and tells us how bad we are and tells us just we ain't going to make it. And boy, I tell you, if everybody else knew, boy, your cover would be blown. Yeah. I will tell you something. So man is coming up in a line. You've heard me say this before. Come up in a prayer line. And he knew when he got up there, Brother Branham, the angel Lord, if there was anything that would hinder them getting healed, it would reveal it to him. And he would tell them, will you make this right, or will you stop doing this or whatever, then he'll heal you. And so this man, he was there, and he knew he smoked cigarettes. And he confessed it while he was in the line to the Lord in his heart and asked the Lord to forgive him for that. He didn't want to do it no more. He come up for Brother Branham, and Brother Branham never mentioned it. And so the man asked him, said, I smoke cigarettes. How come you didn't mention that? And Brother Branham said, I don't see that. He said, yeah. He said, I was standing back here in the line. He said, and I told the Lord to forgive him. Brother Branham said, oh, there it is. He said, there it is. He said, that's why I couldn't see it. That was gone. It was hid by the blood of Jesus Christ. That quick. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, a true Christian that has the Holy Ghost, they'll make mistakes. But when they make mistakes, They'll quickly, when the Holy Spirit will point out to them, quickly they'll say, Lord, I'm so sorry, forgive me that. Lord, if I've said something wrong to somebody, I'll go make it right with them right quick. Sometimes we get to looking and we think, well, I'm not sure whether this is wrong or not, but I'm going to err on the side of right, and I'm going to say it was wrong and make it right. Hallelujah. I forgot to look at the time when I came up here, so I'll just make an estimate. The message of Go Tell, preached in 1960. Brother Branham says, And because the message is right, because God sent the message, because God sent the messenger, so no doubt that every gun of hell will be firing at him. That's right. He'll stumble and fall and get up and shake his head and go on. We got a message. Nothing's going to stop it. Hallelujah. I tell you, when I read that right there, friends, it just done something for me. I tell you what, it was like heaven came down and settled around me. Because I know I'm not the messenger. I know I'm not the prophet. But I know that God did send me, and God's got a message that he preaches through me. And I'm not saying anything different than what's been said, but I'm only saying what has already been said. I'm just saying what the prophet said. And I stumble and fall. And sometimes I feel like every gun is aimed at me. But he says he'll shake his head. He'll get up, shake his head, and go on. Why? We got a message, and nothing's going to stop it. What I have wondered over the past several months, what in the world is keeping me going? What is keeping me going? I don't mean going to church or believing or like that. I just mean it just seemed like I've just been battling so hard. What keeps me going that I don't give up? Because I got a message. And nothing's going to stop it. Because I'm part of that message. That message was sent to me. That message was sent to you. Nothing going to stop that message, because that message is going to live through us. It don't matter whether you're a preacher or not. Nothing's going to stop you. You'll fall. You'll stumble. But you'll get up, shake your head, and go on. Why? Because we got a message. And nothing's going to stop it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said many times we'll walk along, seem like stumbling. Sometimes we'll get on a, seem like a dark road stumbling around. He said, but don't worry with the stumbling. There's an anchor. There's an anchor that's holding you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, we know we make mistakes, but you mustn't look at that. It's not your mistakes, because you're always going to have them. You see, it's following his rules, following what he said to. Stumbling and falling doesn't have one thing to do with it. A real true servant, if he'll stumble, he'll get up again. If he wobbles, God pulls him right back in the path, as long as he's in the path of duty. Hallelujah. Stumbling, falling don't have one thing to do with it. What does he mean, don't have one thing to do with it? It has nothing to do with your salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Ram says here, he says, in my life, instead of God had explained, he said, in my life I've made many mistakes. I've done lots of things that's wrong. And if I live much longer, I'll do many more. Perhaps some of them will be stumbling blocks in your way. When I read that, Brother Phil, I thought, of all them that's walking away from the message and pointing at things of Brother Branham, saying this is wrong and that was wrong and this is wrong and that was wrong. You know, Brother Branham said, my mistakes is either going to be a stumbling block or a stepping stone. He said, I trust you'll take my mistakes and use them as stepping stones. But there's some, it's become a stumbling block to them. And it's because it was meant to. It was the same way when Jesus said, "Have I offended you? Have I offended you?" Imagine that. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Jesus didn't say that in a voice of, "Oh, I'm sorry if I offended you." Read that whole scripture. You'll see the kind of tone that was in it. "Have I offended you?" Almost sarcastic like. "What, have I offended you?" He knew before he spoke them words, there was people going to get offended. He knew before he said it, he knew some were going to leave the church over it. But he had a message. And nothing was going to stop it from coming forward. Not how many would quit the church, that wouldn't stop it. Who was supporting, that wasn't going to stop it. Who liked him anymore, that wasn't going to stop it. How many, that not many was going to stay, that wasn't going to stop it. Why? He had a message. I'll tell you, it's that way, friends. There's times when I'm preaching and I know there's some things I'm going to say. And I know because I get to know the people. And sometimes there's people where I realize God's trying to peel some away. Because there's seed that falls on stony ground. And there's seed that falls in thorny thistles and briars. But there's seed that falls in good ground. Hallelujah. Them's the ones that'll stay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, "Perhaps some of my mistakes will be stumbling blocks in your way." He said, I was reading about Abraham, how the frustrations he had. My, the things he did. He doubted God. He lied about his wife and everything. But when his divine commentary was written, it never mentioned his mistakes. It said, Abraham staggered not at the unbelief through God, but was strong in the faith. All his mistakes was all forgotten when the divine commentary of his life was written. His frustrations wasn't even mentioned. His mistakes wasn't mentioned. Brethren, I hope that when my commentary is read that day, that he'll rub mine out too and won't think about them. I hope you do too. And that's something. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning. Lord, I feel like so humbled, Lord, by the things, Lord, that you said today. Yet, Lord, I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying, Lord, because I'm so thankful. Lord, I know that without your blood, I'd be lost. My mistakes would be right there. But Lord, I'm not serving you because it'll blot out my mistakes. I'm serving you because that's the desire of my heart, Lord. I don't desire anything else, God. I don't, Lord, there's people that when they're young, they're making decisions for what their life, what direction they'll take. There are some, Lord, that had aspiration to become president. Some of them will never realize that dream they have, but there's others, Lord, that
they start out with that and start building in their political lives to become president. And that's their desire, Lord, and they do everything they can to do that, Lord. Just read the news lately about the different ones, Lord, that's going up between the two parties. And Lord, they're doing everything they can, Lord, to try to become, Lord, the nominee for their party. They have that desire, but God, I don't have a desire to be president. I don't have a desire to be somebody great, popular in this world someday. I don't have a desire, God, to have roots tied down so strong here that I can't leave, Lord. I've got a desire to serve you. I got a desire for the city, Lord, it's not made with hands. I got a desire, Lord, to see my loved ones that's lived for you and went on to be with you, Lord. I have a desire, Lord, to sit around that supper table, Lord. The lamb, Lord, the marriage of the lamb, supper, Lord, I got a desire to be there. It's not, Lord, because I'm afraid of being lost or that I'm afraid of hell. That's not why I'm serving you, Lord. I'm serving you because I love you and it's a desire of my heart. And I know, Lord, the people here with me today can say amen, Lord, because that's their desire. What makes them come, Lord? What makes them keep going? It's the desire of their heart, dear Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, ever those, God, that in their desire, it was made known. Lord, in that scripture we read for our text, by the time it come down toward the end of your speaking there, their desires begin to be made known. Many said that they left, Lord, and followed you no more. But, oh, Lord, there were those, God. And of course, Lord, you had to keep Judas around for him to fulfill his part. But, Lord, Peter, being one the most to stand up, be a spokesman. Lord, he stood up and spoke the desire of his heart. He might not understood, but the desire of his heart, dear God, was to be with you because he said, I know thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, people today, their desires are being made known. Amen. There's many, dear God, that are leaving this message, Lord, and finding fault here and there, criticizing, Lord, the ministry of the day. Oh, God, it's just the desires being made known, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm so happy, dear God, that you chose me. I'm so happy, dear God, because I feel like, dear God, that it ain't even because of me that I have that desire. But it's because you placed that desire in me, God. I was born with that desire in me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just give the Lord glory and praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I can never live a normal life without you.
Down and oh, my soul so weary. Storm is Yeah. so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Oh, there you came to this earth you created, full of secret game. Here I am to worship.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
that's recorded in God's word is in Jesus our Lord. Wonderful. Blessed He. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful is in Jesus our Lord. Wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's word is in Jesus our Lord. Thank you. the time. Hymns of song of praise and bliss. Lord, my God is good. Oh, God is good. All the time. Well, God is good.
I just want to say a little something. If Tim would live in that body, in that grave, to the 10th of last week, he'd have been 50 year old. But that house he lived in, 45 and a half years, me and Mama made it. But Tim went to a new home, and he's about 21 or 22 year old. He'll never have another birthday. It'll be that way to rapture. 3.5 years marriage supper, millennial, and 8 days, he made it. So I just want to tell y'all, if he'd lived last week, benefit, but he's about 21, 22 year old. That's something, somebody 50 year old and about 21 or 22 year old. Isn't that amazing? But I know one thing, he made it.
That's all that matters.
Tim made it. I went over his grave, stood there and looked, but he's not there. That house he lived in died, but like Rob Bob said, you'd never carry me to the grave. Carried that old past house he lived in. But I just want to tell you, if he'd lived, it'd have been 50. That makes me real old, don't it?
let's be dismissed this time. We'll have Brother Phil to dismiss us.